Tonight I'm going to speak to you on just let it go. I've got good news for you tonight. How many here can bear some good news? God has got a great plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your life. You're not on this earth by accident. You're here with a God-given divine destiny and purpose. You're not a spare part in this world. God has got something for you to do. Now, John in his epistle has some good news for us as well. He says in 1 John 5:12, that he who has the Son has life, has Zoe. He who does not have the Son of God does not have Zoe, does not have life. That's good news, isn't it, tonight? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Here it is. Eternal life began for you on this earth when you got the Son, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let me say that again. Eternal life began for you on this earth when you got the Son, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Imagine a place of no more financial lack, a place of complete health always, a place where godly love exists 24/7, no more broken relationships, a place of no more emotional dysfunction, a place of no more depression and no more mental illness, a place where there is no more darkness but always light. This place is eternal life in heaven with God and Jesus when you leave this earth. Is that good news here tonight? And John writes in 1 John 5:12 that he who has the Son has eternal life. Eternal life began for you on this earth when you got the Son, when you put faith in Jesus. Since eternal life began for you when you got the Son of God by faith in Him, then you can have a taste of the benefits of eternal life on this earth. You can have a taste of financial provision, friends. You can have a taste of God's miraculous financial provision. No, in heaven one day, there is no financial lack. There is provision always. You can have a taste of that financial provision in the here and now since eternal life began for you on this earth when you got the Son. You can have a taste of health and wholeness in your body. Remember, in heaven, there is no sickness. There is no disease for even a millisecond in heaven. You can have a taste on this earth of God's wholeness and health since eternal life began for you when you got the Son. Are you getting the point here tonight? In heaven, there is no more depression. There is the joy of the Lord always. You can have a taste of the joy of the Lord in the here and now on this earth since eternal life began for you when you got the Son. Is that good news here tonight? So you can taste of the goodness of God in the here and now, in this world, right now, in your life. Because eternal life began for you when you got the Son. Eternal life began for you when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, when He became your Savior and your Lord. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. I want a taste of the goodness of God in the here and now, in my life, on this earth, in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, I'm here to tell you that you can taste of the blessings and the goodness of God here on this earth. Now, there's going to be trials, there's going to be sufferings as you go through this life. You know, the Christian walk is not a bed of roses. It's not peaches and cream, but at the same time, you can taste of the goodness of God here. Amen? You know, as we go through life, there is an issue that can prevent the blessings of God from freely flowing into your life. As you go through life, there is an issue that can prevent the blessings of God from freely flowing into your life. And the issue or blockage is called what? It's unforgiveness or bitterness. If you have lived life at all, then someone has offended you in what they have said or done to you. Maybe somebody offended you yesterday in something they said or did. Maybe somebody offended you in the last hour before you came to the service in what they said or did. Maybe they quipped about your weight. Maybe you're trying to lose weight and maybe this person was just joking with you and says that it looks like you gained some weight and you got offended. They were quipping with you and you took it offensively. Or maybe somebody said something about a family member. They weren't meaning to be mean, but maybe you took it offensively. So if you've lived life, if you live life and interact with other people, people are going to say and do things at times that will irritate you, that will get under your skin. Could you agree with me here tonight? Have we all been there? All right. You know, somebody may do something to you. You may take the seed of offense and you may plant it in the soil of your heart. I encourage you tonight not to allow the seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart. Because if you plant that seed of offense in the soil of your heart and you think about it, you mull it over, you water it, that seed of offense could become a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness unchecked can become what? Hatred and, God forbid, murder. So tonight I want to talk about forgiveness as a lifestyle. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" So who knows what Peter was thinking? Peter might have been thinking, wow, this offender in my life has offended me seven times. He's on his eighth offense, and maybe now I have a chance to get even. I have a chance to get revenge on my offender. And how does Jesus respond to Peter? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Another translation says 70 times 7. Now, we know that Jesus is not into numbers when it comes to forgiveness, right? It's not like Jesus was saying, "Peter, you can forgive your brother this many times." What was Jesus saying to Peter? Jesus was saying, "Peter, you need to walk a lifestyle of forgiveness. You need to practice a lifestyle of forgiveness. You need to forgive your offender an infinite number of times, Peter." And that's hard to swallow. It's hard for us to do, but it applies to us as well, right? We need to forgive our offenders an infinite number of times. In other words, we need to walk a lifestyle of forgiveness towards those who have hurt us, those who have insulted us, and those who get under our skin. Is that good news here tonight? And then Jesus gives this parable. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." And I want to say this real quick. For God's blessings to freely flow into your life, you've got to practice what? What we're about to read. You've got to practice what? For God's blessings that I talked about just earlier to freely flow into your life, you have got to practice what? Forgiveness. You've got to practice forgiveness. What is forgiveness? What is the plain, simple definition of forgiveness? Forgiveness is releasing a person of the debt you feel that they owe you, even if it's just an apology. "The least they owe me is an apology," you might be thinking. But you know what? Forgiveness involves releasing your offender of even the apology you feel that that person owes you. And so Jesus goes on to give a parable concerning forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." Now, this king in this parable represents whom? He represents whom? He represents God the Father. All right? "As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." How much is 10,000 talents? millions of dollars. Our sins against God were as this mountain of debt. So, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. It's pretty serious, isn't it? So the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him. He had compassion on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Friends, this is what? This king who was owed millions of dollars by the servant did what? He canceled the debt. I call this incredible forgiveness. Releasing all that debt and letting him go free. That's the heart of God the Father towards us. There's nothing in your life that God cannot forgive. He loves you so very much. But here's the sad account. Here's the sad account in the next verses. Verses 28 to 31. "But when that servant went out," the servant who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars went out, "he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii. Do you know how much that is? Commentators say it's about $15. $15. Very little. "He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. This fellow servant pleaded for mercy, but the servant who was just previously forgiven a debt of millions of dollars had no mercy. He committed a cruel and selfish act. By throwing a fellow human being into prison who only owed him the equivalent of $15. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable that this guy who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars could not remember he was forgiven of that debt and found somebody, a fellow human being who owed him $15 and had him thrown into prison. Unlike this servant, this cruel servant, we need to remember the mountain of offense God has forgiven us in Christ. And we need to extend that mercy, that compassion, that forgiveness toward our offenders. Let us not be like this cruel servant who was forgiven such a great debt and then found a fellow human being who owed him so little and could not forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians 4, 28, Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Be imitators of God, Paul writes to the Ephesians. Imitators in what area? In the area he was just talking about, forgiving our offenders. He says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God." We need to be imitators of God in the practice of forgiveness. We need to have godly compassion toward our offenders. We need to pray to God that he would impart this compassion to us, and he will. You know, forgiveness is hard. How many have been there? When somebody has insulted you, somebody has hurt you, somebody has verbally abused you, maybe physically abused you, and man, you just don't want to forgive. It's hard in the human flesh, in your own strength, to forgive the offender, right? But with God's grace, God's strength, God's empowerment, all things are possible. God can give you his grace and his strength to forgive your offender. You just cry out to God, say, "God, I can't do this on my own. Forgiveness is too tough. This person has hurt me too deeply. I can't do it." And I'm here to tell you, when you cry out to God, you plead to God, God will give you his divine empowerment to forgive the person who has wronged you. Amen? Is that good news here tonight? Let us never forget the mountain of debt that God has forgiven us. Let us never be like that cruel servant who forgot the king who forgave him a debt worth millions of dollars. And then, going back to this parable, then the master, that king, called the servant in. Verse 32, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. He turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. It's like this servant's fate was determined. It was as if he would be imprisoned forever. The king who initially showed such great forgiveness by forgiving him a debt of millions of dollars retracted that forgiveness. It's in the scripture. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. He withdrew that forgiveness. And then, verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart." This is exactly how God will treat those who don't forgive their brother, their sister, their offenders from the heart. It's in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. What does Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's a lot to think about, right? It's not my opinion. It's in the scripture. Jesus said it. Going back to Matthew chapter 18. So this servant who was originally forgiven this debt of millions of dollars was thrown back into prison. Thrown into prison until he could pay back all that he owed. As I said, it was like his fate was determined. He would be forever imprisoned. Unforgiveness. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember this. Unforgiveness can place you in a very serious prison. If you die in a state of bitterness and unforgiveness toward your offender, it could place you in an eternal prison. Think about it. If our eternal life is based on God's forgiveness of our sins, might I say our eternal life is in jeopardy, it's in danger if we don't forgive our offenders? Because Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer. If you don't forgive men their sins against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. Let me say it again. If our eternal life is based on God's forgiveness of our sins, is our eternal life in jeopardy if we don't forgive our offenders? I don't want to be there. How about you? When I take my last breath on this earth, I want to take my last breath having forgiven those who offended me. How about you? It's tough to do in our own strength, but cry out to God for His grace and He will give you His divine empowerment. Parachuting. You jump out of a plane, right? Jump out of a plane, pull a cord, the parachute opens, and you land in safety. If you pull that cord and that parachute doesn't open, it's like goodbye world, right? You're gone. So I encourage you tonight to open the parachute of forgiveness over your offenders so that when you leave this earth, you will land in eternal safety. You will be with God, with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Let me say it again. Open the parachute of forgiveness over your offenders so that when you die on this earth, you land in eternal safety. Has anybody been offended lately? Everybody's hands, I think, should go up, right? We've all been there. Pray to God for His strength. I want to read you a little quote here that I was looking at today, and it says this on forgiveness. According to a story in the Minnesota Christian Chronicle, Kim Puck, a Vietnamese, was invited to Washington in 1996 to speak at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. As she spoke, she said she would forgive the pilot who bombed her town if they were to meet. Incredibly, the pilot, John Plummer, was in the audience. He had heard that Kim would be there, so he came to hear her speak. After the ceremony, the two met. Plummer repeated, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Kim replied, "It's all right. I forgive." Friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, you've just got to make a plain decision in your heart and your mind to forgive your offenders, putting self to death and forgiving those who have offended you. Because you know what? Our eternal destiny hangs on our forgiveness of others who have offended us, who have insulted us, who have hurt us. That making sense here tonight? I heard it said this way one time, kind of paraphrasing here, but you know, unforgiveness, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. Living in bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. He might never have known that he did something to offend you, but you're drinking the poison. He's not going to die. Guess what? It's going to affect you negatively. So let's walk in forgiveness with God's grace and God's strength. Amen?
Amen?
We don't want to be like this cruel servant that was forgiven such a great debt and couldn't forgive a debt worth $15 of his fellow servant. That's horrible, isn't it? We don't want to be there. We need to be imitators of God. Say it with me tonight. I want to be an imitator of God in every part of my life, especially in the area of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.